from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 23rd day of September, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And K-State's Mike Wolverton will join us today to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, analysts suggest changing the way Wall Street works could take liquidity out of the commodity markets. And USTR says it may have a plan that could lower tariffs along the Asian Rim. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly, and I'll take you through yesterday's USDA Crop Progress Report and on most of these radio stations during the second half hour of our program. We'll talk about health and wellness and the new ARC. More on just what that is later. In just 26 minutes, by the way, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast, so stay with us if you can for this Tuesday edition of The Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at 750 and a half, 12 and three quarters higher. March futures at 770 and a quarter, up 12 and a half. On the May contract, $7.83 and one half, up 12 and three quarters. December corn futures, 560 and a quarter, a penny and three quarters higher. The March up 1 3/4 as well, $5.78, the settlement price. May corn, 589 and a quarter, up 2 cents. And July futures, 598 and one quarter, up 1 3/4. November soybeans, 18 cents lower today, $11.87, the settlement price. January at 1203 and 3/4, down 18 and 1/4. In the March contract, 1218 and a quarter, down 18 and a quarter. May futures, 1230 and a quarter, down 16 and 3/4. October bean meal, $3.25.30, $2 higher. October bean oil at $47.74, down $1.81. December bean oil at $48.23, down $1.80. October live cattle futures at $102.20, 25 cents lower. December down 45 cents at $103.45. September feeder cattle for the day at $107.60, down 55 cents. And the October at $106.60. down 45 cents. October lean hog futures, 68.45, 20 cents lower. And the December futures at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, 66.30, down a dollar and a nickel. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Public Radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures at $106.15, down $3.22 at the hour. December futures at $106 even, down $2.87. Ethanol at $223.50 is just about unchanged on the day. And natural gas at $7.96.50, 30 cents and 7 tenths higher. Gasoline trading $2.59.50, 10 and 8 tenths higher. October heating oil futures at $2.99 and 7 tenths, 4.5 cents lower for the diesel fuel. October propane at $1.55, up 6 cents. I need to go back and visit the October gasoline for the RBOB because it was down 10 and 8 tenths at $2.59.50. September gold futures, $18.40 lower, $885.50 the trade for the day. U.S. dollar at 76.46 is up 24. The CRB index at 367.75 is down 569 for the afternoon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 11,002. It's down 12 points at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in northern and west central Illinois to be partly to mostly cloudy, a few showers in the far northwestern part of the state by daybreak. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 52 in some eastern and southern locations to 62 in Chicago. Tomorrow in northern and west central parts of Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 77 in northwestern Illinois to 87 in the south. The extended forecast says some outside chance of some showers in northern and west central Illinois will exist on Wednesday, but generally dry weather should continue through the rest of the work week. Temps should remain a bit above average with highs in the 70s and the 80s.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take a look at what happened in the futures markets. And we're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Boy, good afternoon, Todd.
And well, looks like the crude oil has settled down for the day after somebody must have gotten trapped in the nearby contract as it rallied sharply higher. And things have settled down across not only the floor in New York, but in Chicago as well.
Yes, Todd. I mean, of course, yesterday, of course, was the last trading day for the October crude. And by the way that it traded over $10 higher than the next month out there, why, we're going to have to say there was probably a little bit of a squeeze going on. Another thing today is the dollar, you know, showing a little bit of strength today, bouncing back from the great losses of yesterday, tremendously big losses yesterday. A little bit of a dead cat bounce there. But all in all of this bailout stuff is got to cause a weaker dollar because it's more in debt for this country.
Yeah, a weaker dollar, but that usually means more exports for commodity markets. And
I think it does in most cases here, and we've had sort of tepid demand as of late, looking at the economic situation and a few things and trying to see what sort of production we're going to have here in the U.S., but we would think with the weaker dollar, if we can stabilize things here, that we'll see the exports pick up and maybe a little inflationary factors come into the commodities. We saw corn bounce back today after being lower, closed about 10 cents off its lows, sitting three quarters higher in the day. So, you know, a little bit of that happening there right now and seem to find a little strength. Some of the early corn yields not being up to what they were sort of hoping for, but just the opposite. The early bean yields are being a little better than what we thought they might be, Todd.
Any best advice for producers as they watch from the sidelines?
I think, you know, we've somewhat carved out a little bit of a trading range here. I think as far as we look at things, we've noticed real strong support down around 535 in the East corn and somewhere around 1140, 1150 in the November beans. And I guess if I was a farmer out there and thought I'd made more cash sales than I'd wanted, if we can set back to those levels, why, I might be replacing some of those cash sales with either futures or options, Todd.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
You know, I think just watch the dollar and watch the crude oil, and that's going to be the direction we're going to go in the short term, but long term, we're just a little bit friendly.
All right, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on a Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com. Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
Analysts today are saying that the demise of Wall Street's standalone investment banking model could drain more liquidity from commodity markets. But officials at Goldman Sachs, which has moved from an investment bank to a more heavily regulated commercial banking mode, says they expect to continue trading in commodities and energies. Morgan Stanley officials declined to comment. U.S. trade negotiators say they will begin talk that could culminate in joining a budding Asian-Pacific tariff-busting plan with Singapore, New Zealand, Chile, and Brunei. The first round of negotiations among the five nations is targeted to free up investment and financial services and will be held early next year in Singapore. U.S. federal prosecutors have launched investigations into possible price fixing by egg producers and tomato processors. Federal officials are already pursuing criminal or civic inquiries in markets including fertilizer, cheese, and milk. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says that all meat from cattle born, raised, and slaughtered in the U.S. will receive a U.S. exclusive label, rather than a packer plan that would allow all beef coming from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico to be labeled as North American beef. USDA says it will crack down on processors who label their meat as mixed country of origin. And Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says he'll introduce a bill that would rescind for 2 years a provision in the 2008 Farm Bill that ends most farm subsidy payments for producers who own 10 or fewer acres. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
And thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm your host, University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Well, the latest crop weather report from the United States Department of Agriculture's NAS, National Agricultural Statistics Service, shows 90% of the corn crop has reached the dense stage. That's 8 points behind last year and 5 points behind the five-year rolling average. Denting was complete in Kansas, North Carolina, Ohio, and Tennessee, and was nearly complete in Kentucky, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Texas. 33% of the corn crop has matured, 43 points behind last year, and 30 points behind the five-year average. Producers had harvested 5% of the nation's corn crop as of Sunday. That's 15 points behind last year, 9 points behind the average. Condition of the corn crop declined by 2 points from the previous week. Soybeans nationwide, 44% of the acreage dropping leaves, 26 points behind last year, 20 points less than the five-year average. Leaf dropping slowed in Missouri and North Carolina, but was active elsewhere. Nearly all states' acreage was dropping leaves. Still, that's behind the average pace. Soybean condition remained unchanged from last week at 57%, good to excellent. And finally, in the winter wheat growing areas, minimal rainfall was received across those areas. While temps varied from slightly below normal in the south to slightly above normal in the north, producers had planted 22% of the winter wheat acreage, 2 points behind last year and 8 points behind the five-year rolling average as of Sunday. In the west, producers were seeding their acreage on time or slightly ahead of usual, while everywhere else, planting had been delayed. Now, here are statisticians from the five top corn-growing states in the nation to update you on their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, State Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 21st, 2008. Warm, sunny weather dominated across the state during the week, helping row crops progress toward maturity. A few alfalfa fields are expected to produce a fourth cutting due to the late summer warmth and adequate soil moisture. Silage chopping and haying continued where earlier rainfall was light and resumed elsewhere as field conditions permitted. A few soybean fields were harvested and some corn in-rows were combined to get a moisture test. Corn at or beyond the dough stage advanced to 97%. Normally, all corn acreage is at or beyond the dough stage by this date. 85% of the corn has reached the dense stage, 12 percentage points behind last year and the five-year average. Corn mature advanced to 23%, 17 days later than last year and 2 weeks behind the five-year average. The corn condition is rated at 61% good to excellent, down 2 percentage points from last week. 81% of the soybeans are turning color, 1 week behind last year's 93% pace and 8 days behind the five-year average of 94%. Soybeans dropping leaves advanced to 43%, 32 percentage points behind last year and 30 points behind the five-year average. The soybean condition is rated at 58% good to excellent, also 2 points below last week. This is Greg Tayson, State Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 21st, 2008.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 21st. A sunny week with near-normal temperatures and rainfall were a welcome sight and helped to advance the maturity of the delayed corn and soybean crops. With the exception of the southeastern crop reporting district, Recent rains from Hurricane Ike left adequate to surplus topsoil moisture supplies statewide. Now to review this week's crop progress statistics, the corn crop was reported 90% in the dense stage, trailing last year's 100% and the 98% five-year average. 31% was reported in the mature category compared to 94% 1 year ago and 77% for the five-year average. Harvest was just getting underway at 1% complete compared to last year's 40% and the 19% five-year average. The soybean crop came in at 63% of the leaves turning yellow compared with last year's 94% and the 88% five-year average. 24% of the crop was reported shedding leaves compared with 79% 1 year ago and 64% normally. 1% of the crop had been harvested by week's end. Last year, 17% had been harvested, and 10% is the normal pace. In other crops around the state, 11% of the sorghum crop was reported mature compared to 68% normally, and 2% of the soft red winter wheat crop had been seeded by September 21st. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 22, 2008. Nebraska finally saw a warm, dry week with temperatures averaging 2 degrees above normal, which has helped push crop progress towards harvest. Overall, nearly three-quarters of the corn rated good or excellent, which is below last year's crop rating at this time. Nearly the entire crop has dented, but corn mature is 11 days behind normal. A few fields have been harvested. Soybeans are turning color and are dropping leaves with crop conditions well below year-ago levels. The alfalfa acreage continues to be rated mostly good or excellent, and fourth cutting is almost halfway done. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent, but are below last year's levels. A quarter of the proso millet has been harvested. Winter wheat seeding is well underway and starting to emerge. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 21, 2008. Minnesota producers continued harvesting canola, sweet corn, potatoes, and dry beans during the past week. Harvest was aided by warmer-than-normal temperatures and little rainfall. Corn and soybean crop development continued at a normal pace, but overall progress remained behind last year and the five-year average. The average temperature for the week was 61.6 degrees, 4.3 degrees above normal. As of Sunday, September 21st, 95% of the corn had reached the dent stage compared to 100% last year and 93% for the five-year average. 18% of the corn was mature compared to 83% last year and 54% for the average. Soybeans were 92% turning yellow compared to 98% last year and 94% for the average. 53% of the soybeans were dropping leaves compared to 92% last year and 73% for the average. 8% of the soybeans were mature compared to 68% last year and 41% for the average. As of Friday, September 19th, 64% of the corn and 67% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 21st, 2008.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending September 21. Farmers across the state assessed the wind and flood damage resulting from Hurricane Ike. While many cornfields were still wet and blown down from the severe winds, most farmers in the affected areas reported that the corn would still be harvestable. Increased orders and, if available, purchases for machinery reels to add to the combines have been reported to aid in the corn harvest. The wet fields and lodging has slowed the combine speeds in the damaged fields. 89% of the corn acreage is in the dense stage, compared with 98% last year and 95% for the five-year average. 40% of the corn acreage is matured, compared with 73% last year and 59% for the five-year average. 3% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 18% last year and 10% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop declined again for the week and was rated at 53% good to excellent, compared to 50% last year at this time. 60% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves compared to 76% for last year and 68% for the five-year average. 2% of the soybean acreage has been harvested compared to 10% for last year and 9% for the five-year average. The condition of the soybean crop was rated at 46% good to excellent, the same as last year near this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for bringing their reports to us each and every Tuesday during the growing season. Speaking of Tuesday, it's Tuesday afternoon, and each and every fourth Tuesday of the month, we talk with Mike Wolverton. He's with Case State in Kansas, an Extension grain analyst. We discuss the ag energy markets with him. He's on the line this afternoon. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's start by talking some of the things that you've been looking at. You said you just ran the numbers in an email to me on the ethanol and some national accounting. What does that mean?
I did. We look at these ethanol profits, but they're for private firms, and I thought we'd take a look at the big picture, what it's doing on a national basis. So I put together ethanol national accounting for 2007 just to see whether we're coming out ahead or falling behind on ethanol production as a nation. And kind of interesting. There's several things to consider. One is income from the import tariff, which I calculated to be $230 million. And it's kind of interesting that the import tariff really isn't meant to keep ethanol out of the United States. It's meant to offset the blender's credit. And the expense of the blender's credit was $3.3 billion. Then to that, I put in there reduction in farm program payments. Farm program payments have fallen quite a bit. From $16 billion down to about $12 billion from 2006 to 2007. And, of course, as we've all been reading about, increase in food cost. And food costs in 2007 went up about 4%, of which about one-third was attributed to ethanol production. So that was a negative $15 billion. And then another thing a lot of people don't think about is that 5% of our gasoline last year was ethanol, and it's been estimated that because we have ethanol in the mix, that lowers the price of gasoline. Well, gasoline would be 10 to 12% higher were it not for ethanol. And that came in at about $40.5 billion. So I totaled my column of numbers, and it looks like we come out ahead $26.6 billion from ethanol production on a national basis last year, Todd.
Did you forward that on to the government?
Well, I have had some interest from people who follow the ethanol industry very closely. I don't think a lot of people really think about ethanol in these terms.
Well, why did you think about it in those terms?
Well, because people kept talking about bits and pieces of it. For example, food cost. We kept reading in the big city editorials and newspaper editorials that, you know, food costs have just jumped up tremendously because of ethanol production. And I got to looking at it, and we have had a little bit of increase in food costs because of ethanol production, but not all the food cost increase was due to ethanol production. So I tried to put a number on it, and in 2007, Americans bought a little over $1 trillion worth of food, and when I calculated the percentage of that that was attributed to ethanol, it came out about $15 billion. So it's a big number, but it's offset by some of these other positives that we see for ethanol.
Any other figures that you'd like to pass along to us before I let you go for the afternoon?
I think this is something we need to continue to look at as we go forward, because we're looking at increased food costs this year, but more ethanol in the gasoline mix. And so this is something I'm going to be trying to keep track of as we go forward.
We'll ask you again in a month about it, okay?
Okay, Todd.
All right, thanks much. And that is Mike Wolverton. He's with Kansas State University Extension, where he serves as grains and biofuels ag economist based in Manhattan, Kansas. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. For the second day in a row, the Illinois Senate has overwhelmingly approved expansive ethics legislation. The bill backed by Governor Ralph Blagojevich goes to the House over the objections of reformers who say the bill is flawed and needed more work. The vote this afternoon was 50-1 with 5 present votes. The measure bans state contractors from contributing to any state office holder and bars outside public jobs for lawmakers. It requires them to report if they lobby other government bodies, and it clears up a discombobulated process for approving lawmaker pay raises. It was language that Governor Blagojevich added to a pay-to-play bill banning contractors' contributions, but lawmakers stripped it out of their bill. Illinois State Treasurer Alexi Janulius says so-called fund sweeps can be an acceptable means by which the legislature can restore funding to areas like state parks and social service agencies. but he says they don't deal with long-term structural problems in the budget. The funds affecting areas like real estate licenses and agriculture are being explored by lawmakers this week. In a visit to Champaign today, Giannoulias also advocated the use of a lease of the state's lottery as a way to help the state for the next 50 years. But he says the structure of such a capital bill will have to guarantee revenue in the area of $600 million. Solo Cup might bring some jobs back to its Urbana plant. The company says it's closing a plant in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park and moving product lines elsewhere. More than 400 people work at the plant. Solo Cup says about 200 jobs will be transferred. Solo expects total employment at the Urbana factory to reach 300 full-time workers after the move. The second of three debates between the three candidates for Indiana governor is tonight in the southern Indiana town of Jasper. The debate between Republican Governor Mitch Daniels, Democrat Jill Long Thompson, and Libertarian Andrew Horning is set to begin at 8 o'clock tonight Eastern in the Jasper Arts Center. Some Urbana streets could be illuminated with LED lights this fall. The Public Works Director says it's working with two manufacturers to use the fixtures. Bill Gray says they offer a considerable cost savings along with high-quality lighting. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Don.
Hey there, Todd. How you doing?
I'm very good, and boy, it's beautiful here. A little bit more like late summer than early fall, I think. Temperatures are pretty warm.
Yeah, things are kind of out of really helter-skelter in terms of the way the month of September has gone. The early part of the month, cooler than normal. We had all the storms. We had the hurricane activity now. Here we are at the end of the month with weather we expected maybe at the start of the month. But, hey, we'll take it.
Yeah, indeed. Tell me about the rest of this week.
Well, it looks pretty good. We really don't have anything extraordinary coming in the Corn Belt Midwest. Now, there is going to be a system that has some tropical characteristics that will bring quite a bit of rain to the Carolinas, some areas along the East Coast, and maybe some of the eastern and southern areas of the Ohio Valley later this week and this weekend. But most of the main Corn Belt areas will see this moisture stay to the south and east. Temperatures through next week are going to be averaging near to above normal, so we'll get some more heat units and growing to degree days accumulated. And at least through early next week, no signs yet of a significant cold front, although late next week we'll have a bit of a push of cooler air into the northern plains.
And will the nighttime low still be pretty warm? It appears that like Des Moines will be warm for a nighttime this evening.
Yeah, it looks that way. There's going to be some drier air coming in from the west later this week and weekend that makes the nights a little cooler. When the air is a little drier, temperatures drop a little bit more at night, but nothing that looks to be a problem. Our temperatures here are going to be very favorable for another 6 to 7 days.
How about out west? We need to get a hard red winter wheat crop planted. Are they going to be doing okay?
They're going to be doing okay. There's a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity in some of those areas over the next 48 hours, but nothing that's going to really cause too many problems.
And if you turn your attention to South America, what do you find?
Well, as we look down south, it looks like it's going to be a little bit moist, especially for some of the growing areas of Argentina. The central growing areas especially, looking at some pretty good chances for shower activity. Southern and central growing areas of Brazil as well have some good chances of some decent moisture. Moisture amounts over the next week or so are forecasted to be close to normal.
Boy, I was looking at the temps, and it appears 80s in Rosario in Argentina. But if you get into Brazil, Brasilia, which is a lot closer to the equator, it looks like they're going to push way into the 90s, up to 102 degrees maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, it is going to be very warm for this time of year down there. Now, contrast that with South Africa, which is headed towards their coldest September on record. So there is some cold air in the southern hemisphere, but it's over in the southern Africa side, while South America is warm, although they are probably headed towards some cooler weather coming in the next 5 or 7 days.
Now, in China, where they should be in the midst of harvest, they're a little cooler than we are in the 70s, maybe a bit more fall-like there, I would think.
Yeah, and they've had some stormy weather. In fact, India's had some very bad monsoon, very heavy moisture, and most of China, at least some of the key areas, are going to be looking at temperatures averaging below normal over the next week. And especially the southern and central areas of China will see some significant moisture.
Don, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report, a production of Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We'll say goodbye to some of our listeners now. For the rest of you, stay with us because we're going to visit in the next 25 minutes the new ARC here on campus. That's the Activities and Recreation Center. and we'll hear all about the new Health and Wellness Showcase that's coming up this Thursday. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition, an extra 25 minutes or so of the Closing Mark Report for some of these radio stations. I thank those who are online with us this afternoon, including WILL, of course. That's the radio station we're located at in Urbana-Champaign, and the folks up at WKEI in Kewaunee and WHOW in Clinton, Illinois. Our thanks to Randy Miller and company for carrying our program this afternoon. The Harvest Hour, we'll do this through the 10th of October while producers are in the combines. At least they'll get in the combines pretty shortly here across the Midwest if they're not already. One of the important topics during this National Health and Farm Health and Safety Week is health and wellness, and we're going to roll that into general population this afternoon and talk about the Health and Wellness Showcase that's coming up right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Two guests, one in studio with us and one on the phone lines. Tony Clements is on the phone lines. He's the Director of Campus Recreation. Good afternoon to you, Tony.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very well. I saw you earlier in the week at the kickoff for the CCFD. That's the
right.
Campus Charitable Fund Drive. I was glad to see you're involved in that as a board member. We
glad
appreciate
to be a part of
all
it.
That you do there.
Well,
and
thank
thanks
you.
For being over at the ARC. I like that name, actually. We'll talk more about it in
okay.
a minute. But I do want to introduce Brenda Kester as well. She's the coordinator of the Family Resiliency Center, which is part
right.
of the College of ACES right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus, which is the Agricultural College.
That's
right.
Exactly right. It's perfect. Hi. Hi, Tony. How are
you?
How
you doing?
Well, let's start maybe and talk about the Health and Wellness Showcase, Brenda. Tell me what it is, when it happens, and why it's important to the Urbana-Champaign and East Central Illinois community.
What we've heard from people is they're really interested in learning more about balanced wellness and health and what kind of resources are available to them that are affordable and accessible. And it was because of that interest that a group of us from the campus and the community got together and envisioned putting together a showcase that would highlight the various resources that are available. And that's where the Health and Wellness Showcase came from. It'll be this Thursday, September 25th from 2 to 7 p.m. at ARC. What you love to say, so we can say it a lot,
yeah.
right, Tony?
Right.
And it's going to offer over 85 different exhibitors that are showcasing different elements of wellness.
Hey, Tony, tell me what ARC is, and you know, you've got a great job over there, and well, it's all part of the new stadium here on campus too.
Well,
the updated stadium.
I think it's part of the whole move by the campus, to, you know. Continually upgrade facilities on this, and so we hope that this isn't the end but the beginning of a lot of great things for the campus. But the ARC is really, it was formerly the IMP building. It is now the Activities and Recreation Center. And actually, the Health and Wellness Showcase is a prime example of what the new building is capable of and what it was really built to do. And that was to sort of expand on the types of opportunities, particularly in the wellness area, that we can provide and support the campus with. And so this is really a great showcase for the building as well as a super opportunity for the campus and the community.
You know, can you tell me just a little bit about how the building was put together with this holistic view of health and wellness?
Well, you know, this is began as a real partnership between the students and the campus to begin with, and gradually, you know, as these things do, moved into a more of a campus-wide identity. And so we began with making sure, you know, this, you know, our first issue was making sure that we had enough space to do to deal with sort of a ramped up expectations of students relative to wellness and probably fitness at that time or sports at that time. And then took the opportunity on behalf of the campus and working with the campus to expand that into a more global vision, at least on campus, into the wellness theme that really, and I think the showcase shows off, really show moves it from being a campus recreation facility to being at a university or campus facility, and increases the overall collaboration and partnership we have. So we do a lot of partnering with students on programs, but we do an extended amount of partnering with other units on campus and either other people in the community. So we have everything you'd want out of a fitness center and then more, and the more really is this sort of diverse space that lets us support a lot of other programs on campus.
You know, most people that are listening, farmers and others that won't be on campus, some of them might be familiar with the old MP building, which has now been renamed and ARC and
right.
rebuilt, and but others won't. So tell them where it is.
Well, it's just north of the stadium. That's always a great identifier for you, because a lot of people know where the stadium is.
Right.
And so right next door to the north, it's actually on the front of it's on Peabody Drive. But if you get to the corner of Peabody and First, I don't think you can miss it. Or if you get to the corner of 4th and Peabody,
right.
you can't miss it either. And so, but it's the old building, renovated and expanded. We've added almost 100,000 square feet to it, and it's really a contemporary facility now. And I think it's reflective of an overall new approach on campus as relative to wellness and to to that broad title and everything it takes in, not only from the physical side, but the social side, the emotional side, and the rest.
Brenda, from 2 to 7, the building will be
That's
open
correct.
This Thursday. What's
Free
the help?
To the public.
Yeah, what will they find when they go?
Well, there's going to be things for people of all ages. We have a lot of activities that are geared towards families and children. We have a Sesame Street character. That WLL has sponsored a honker who's there to, I'm not sure what a honker it is, but apparently anyone with children is very excited about it. There's a lot of other activities that will be available. We do have some things that are special for people in the more mature population as well. Clark Lindsay Village is doing, as an example, some cooking on a hot plate. So that might also appeal to students, although I think they're making crab cakes, and I don't know many students who are that savvy yet with the crock pot.
Well, and so
hot plate.
It's all about the sort of a holistic view of wellness mm-hmm. and what that is and what it means. And Brenda, maybe you could define that.
I mean,
that.
Just to kind of tie in with the whole agricultural, Tony's coworker, Jane Jalouse, one of the other co-chairs of this event, and I were just talking about, for us, in a kind of more micro-agriculture way, gardening for us serves a lot of different purposes. It's a very physical activity, but it also has a real spiritual component. We both remark that we're nicer people once we've come back in and spent a few hours digging in the dirt.
That's true. I suppose that is true. So this building will be open from 2 to 7 on Thursday of this week. Tony, how many do you expect, you think?
But I think, I don't know. Brenda will probably tell you, but, you know, we're prepared to host several thousand. That's sort of our expectation. We think it's a wonderful event. We think it's got great campus and community support. And I don't know if Brenda provided for you sort of the list of groups that will exhibit there, but
it's a huge group.
It's a huge
I've got
list.
It.
Yeah, and I think the list itself gives you a picture of sort of the broad global view of wellness, and that, as Brenda said, things that it's not just about, it's less about what you do and more about how you feel after you do something. And that's what we're trying to promote here, and actually point out to people that it's not simply about one alternative way you can do it, but a whole series of different things you can take on.
The exhibitors page is a couple of columns and 9 points and two pages long.
Yeah,
so there,
right.
It's a huge number.
Need your reading glasses.
Right.
You need your reading
right.
glasses, but
yeah.
It's a long page. Looks like there's going to be some cooking demos that'll be happening. Feeding Healthy Families demo. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, we do.
What is it?
Just talking about I think all of us have experienced the end of the workday trying to get dinner on the table, and just giving people some tips about how to not only to put dinner on the table, but make sure it's healthy and nourishing.
Oh, I see something here, Tony. Maybe you can tell me. A Nordic walking presentation. Is that Nordic track? Do you know?
It's similar to that. We used to do that on the track, and now we have some other, actually, which gives you a little broader appeal. So it's that same similar kind of motion but it has, they demonstrate ways that you can sort of do it outside, you know, instead of just being on a Nordic machine.
You know, there's been a lot of building on campus, a whole lot of buildings, and maybe we probably ought to bring in one other building, which is, I believe, where you're housed at this point. It's
yes.
the Doris Christopher Kelly building, which is not very old. It's a brand new building on campus, too.
Another beautiful, much smaller in size. I think it could fit in your office. Is that right, Tony? I've seen your office.
I don't say that.
No, I'm kidding you. Doris Kelly Christopher is the founder of the Pampered Chef, and she donated money to build the building, which houses now the Family Resiliency Center, which is something that grew out of another donation that she was generous enough to give the Pampered Chef Family Resiliency Program. So that is now housed in part of the Family Resiliency Center.
Oh, interesting. So, well, tell me about her involvement with the university, with the college, and why it is that she would give money to this institution.
What? It's really, she's wonderful to hear when she talks about. She obviously is passionate and loves the University of Illinois and very much has fond memories of being a student here. And I think it was also the fact that she founded the Pampered Chef so that she could stay home and help raise her children and then hopefully give others the chance to provide an income for their family while they could provide some flexibility to stay at home. So obviously families are a passion of hers, and she wanted to give back as best she could, and she certainly has. We're very appreciative.
Well, what does the Family Resiliency Center do?
Well, we do research and outreach. We have a new director, Dr. Barbara Fies, and we encourage folks to come to our Pampered Chef lecture that will be October 30th. She will be our featured lecture series speaker, and you can hear more about her work. She talks about how family rituals and routines help provide positive health outcomes for children.
And you've got, I heard, and I don't know what this is, a really interesting room in the building there. I think it's an observation of some kind of
room. We do. We believe it's the only one in the country of its kind. It's a research home. It's built as a middle-class dining room, kitchen, and little living area, and it's all set up with cameras and microphones so that research can happen in a more home-like environment rather than the typical sterile lab environment.
And what do you learn out of those sorts of things then as you watch people interact with their environment?
It depends on what the research is looking at. We'll be doing some research around family mealtimes and people's impressions about family mealtimes, kind of positives and negatives and strategies they've used. I know that there's some physicians that are coming in to look at some health messaging around eating for people with chronic illness. So it just depends on, we have some powerful analytics software that ties in with the computer. So researchers can do a number of things with the data they collect.
Tony, tell me about the ARC and how it was funded.
Well, it's funded through student fees. You know, this whole project began in really 2001. The ARC is the last phase of a overall program package that includes our building on the other side of campus, Searcy, which opened up about 3 years ago. And this is actually considered a distributed system, which means the whole program statement is spread over two buildings. So parts of the program we respond to it at Searcy and part of it over here. So this is the final stage, and overall it was about $80 million to do both buildings. And surprisingly, this may not be a surprise to you, but it's been somewhat of a surprise to me, is that...
5 seconds, Tony.
Okay. Well, it's a great building.
All right. Thanks much. Tony Clements is with us this afternoon here on the Harvest Hour of the Closing Market Report.
Programming on AM 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at tnol.com. Today's broadcast is made possible by The Great Impasta, a restaurant serving foods from northern Italy. The Great Impasta offers a private dining room for parties, meetings, and other events. The Great Impasta, 114 West Church in Champaign. The staff at The Great Impasta encourage you to join them in supporting WILL.
Here's what the two-state weather forecast looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says northern and west central Illinois should be partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a few showers in the far northwestern part of Illinois by daybreak. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range this evening from 52 in some eastern and southern locations to 62 in Chicago. Tomorrow in northern and west central parts of Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 77 in northwestern Illinois to 87 in the south.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to save cost and our future environment. It is part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information online at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910.
Let's take a little bit of a look at some of the extended forecast from Ed Keezer. He says temps should remain a bit above average, with highs in the upper 70s and 80s. And lows in the 50s and the 60s through Saturday of this week. A tropical system will likely move up the East Coast heading into the weekend. That may throw some rain as far westward as portions of Indiana on Sunday. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. Tony Clements and Brenda Kester are with us this afternoon to talk a little bit about the Health and Wellness Showcase that's coming up this Thursday from 2 o'clock to 7 p.m. right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Thanks for staying with us this afternoon, the two of you. Tony, as we left you, you started to tell us about this distributed system across the campus. Just two buildings, is that right? Oh, I think Tony left us this afternoon. Yep, that's all right. I thought maybe he did. It kind of sounded like I said goodbye to him earlier, so that's all right. But we still have in studio with us Brenda Kester to talk about this Health and Wellness Showcase. So once people arrive, where do you think they ought to head in the building? What's fun to see? Did I see that there was a rock climbing wall, I think?
There's somewhere? A rock climbing wall. There will be, try it out through the whole showcase will be available. There'll be demonstrations. When you first come in, there'll be people in lime green shirts, and they're the ones that can direct you to all the different aspects of the showcase and where those are. They're going to be concentrated in an area that you can see just as you come in. So you'll be able to look over and see all the fun and activity. One of the things that we've stressed with our exhibitors is rather than just having booths that you walk by and pick up information, that we've encouraged them to have interactive elements and to really engage people in an educational way about what the aspect of wellness that they have available. So there's some really exciting and innovative things. One of our exhibitors to demonstrate how to best balance work and family is incorporating some juggling lessons. So not only can you learn about how to juggle your home and life world, you can also learn how to juggle those three little balls that I've never mastered.
Indeed. So we talked a little bit about the arc, the track and Nordic track with Tony, and we talked some about the climbing wall. The instructional kitchen is there. It'll be busy just about every half hour with something different, healthy college cooking for the kids here on campus, feeding healthy families, a frugal food demo. Do you know anything about that one and maybe the quick snacks?
Well, I think you'd have to be living under a rock to realize that, or not to not realize that some grocery prices have risen. And I think a lot of families are looking at ways, and individuals are looking at ways that they can produce meals in a more economical fashion.
And then as we wrap up this program this afternoon, can you tell me how it is that the Family Resiliency Center fits into the goals of the College of ACES, the Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, what it is that your side, because we're talking to producers, what it is that your side of the research, outreach, and education values that belong to the College of ACES is, and how it is that you work into the broader scheme?
Well, I think one of the most important things is families are certainly a big part of farm life. And that's what we look at. We also are spending a lot of time Talking about food, there's been an increase in kind of what we're looking at of the tie between food and obesity and health outcomes and families. And that's one of the things that the Family Resiliency Center has been focusing on. And it's certainly a hot topic.
Well, what kinds of research do you do in the building? Do you, what kind of research in particular do you do?
I am not a researcher. I am a coordinator.
So you coordinate everything.
I coordinate, yeah. I remember when my children were small, they always wanted to know what that was. I think one of the most exciting research teams that we have right now, it's called Strong Kids, and it's looking at obesity in multiple different levels, from the cellular down up to the community level. So it's looking at preschool-age children in daycare settings and what contributes to obesity. So it's a really exciting project. It's still in its infancy stage, and it'll be great to see what happens with it.
So they're looking at the activity of the kids, what kinds of foods they're eating, what the home environment and what the daycare environment is like?
Absolutely. And then most importantly, how the some media, there's going to be some media tie-in, kind of measuring their media consumption, their exposure, and what types of things they're being exposed to.
Yeah, how many times they see the commercial for the sugar cereals and those sorts of things, and whether they convince mom and dad to buy them along the way.
Well, and I think one of the things that we're becoming more aware of is fresh produce, are healthy food choices available to everyone in the community in which they live. So that's another aspect. That's the community level, is mapping what the different stores in the neighborhoods in which the children live, what do they have to offer.
Now, how do you do that? How do you get that kind of local?
Thankfully,
look?
I don't do that. We do have one of the researchers.
I've got a way to do it. But I wonder how you do that.
One of the researchers on our team is an expert in this, Professor Grigsby, and she'll be taking a look at that, and has done this in the in some urban settings. So I wish I knew more specifics about how she actually does it, but it's fascinating.
Will you be over at the ARC on Thursday of this week?
I will be there all day.
All day.
And I look forward to having many of your listeners come and join us.
So you're looking forward. You'll have students in, and hopefully there'll be a lot of listeners that come in, and a lot of community participation. This is sponsored by a whole group of folks, including WILL, and I think a couple of other radio stations along the way. Do you have a list of
folks that are sponsoring? We do. It is the Campus Recreation, the Family Resiliency Center, the Department of Tourism, Sport, and Recreation. It's also the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District and the Faculty Staff Assistance Program. So we have a broad group of people who've come together.
Brenda, we thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Brenda Kester is the coordinator of the Family Resiliency Center. Tommy Clements was also along with us this afternoon. He's the director over at the ARC. That's the Activities and Recreation Center right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. The two of them will be coordinated for the Health and Wellness Showcase, which is from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock this Thursday, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Thank you for listening to this Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the Bang on a Can Marathon. The almost 12-hour performance will feature the Bang on a Can All-Stars alongside Glenn Kochi of Wilco, Lee Ronaldo of Sonic Youth, and many special guests, all on September 27th. More information is at KrannertCenter.com.
You're listening to WILL 580 AM at 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3. Urbana, we're coming up on the top of the hour, 3 o'clock Central Time. The PRI's The World will be up next. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in northern and west central Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy, a few showers in far northwestern Illinois. That'll happen towards daybreak. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 52 in some eastern and southern locations to 62 in Chicago. Tomorrow, in northern and west central Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 77 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 87 in the south. You're listening to WILL. It is a production of the Public Radio Campus.
From Public Radio International, this is The World. A co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Today is Tuesday, September 23rd. I'm Lisa Mullins in Boston. As Congress debates the bailout, it considers new regulations to keep banks from amassing bad debt. Lawmakers might look to Europe for inspiration.
There's a Spanish model where they've had a real estate boom much like ours, and they've been very aggressive about making sure their banks keep capital on hand and people only take out mortgages who have enough money to pay for them.
Also ahead, the Chinese government doesn't consider the tainted milk scandal a laughing matter, but one local official apparently does. Now, this news.